right. So continuing on this tone of AI, but this time we're talking about fraud and fraudsters and how to battle that. So we have a couple of people super interesting that are going to talk about it right now. And so please put it together for Raj Ramadan, the co-founder and CEO of Signified, Avery Penaran. Sorry, Avery. Co-founder and CEO of Tailscale, and Sam Sabin, cybersecurity reporter at Axios. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Well, thank you all so much for being here. I know we're reaching the end of the day, so this means a lot. My name is Sam Sabin. I'm a cybersecurity reporter at Axios, and I'm joined by two really impressive and amazing CEOs in their own right. So to kick off, I'm going to have the two of you in under a minute, which I know can be a challenge, tell us a little bit about yourselves and the companies that you run. So Avery, if you want to start.
Sure. I'm Avery Penner, and I'm CEO of Tailscale. I guess brief history, I graduated from the University of Waterloo. While I was there, I started my first startup in the dorm room with my roommate. We eventually sold that company to IBM. I then spent some time at Google working on Google Wallet and eventually Google Fiber, networking and security. Eventually, I left Google and started a startup called Tailscale. It's the joke behind the name Tailscale. It's the opposite of internet scale. There was a lot of stuff that I saw at Google which was unnecessarily scalable. And we sort of realized there's a huge opportunity in the world for solving problems that are a little bit, that are smaller than the ones that need to scale to a billion users. And so what we do is what's called mesh-capable VPNs, which is a fancy way of saying like connecting any device to any other device across the internet without needing any infrastructure, without reconfiguring firewalls, tying into identity providers, and so on.
Cool. Raj, yeah.
Thank you. And I'm Raj Ramanan. At Signified, we enable fearless commerce. What that means from a retail perspective is that merchants have the liability for fraud, and ultimately they have to sift through what is a good order from bad fraud and abusive orders. And Signified, we help them identify that, remove the friction from the process, and thereby enable more sales for them.
Amazing. Well, thank you, guys. And of course, we're here to talk about bots. I will admit, when I hear of bots, I'm reminded of Twitter. I'm reminded of all the bad things that can come from using a bot of some sort. But oddly enough, we're here to talk about the advantages, how it can be used for good. Can you guys conceptualize maybe what that means to see a bot being used for good in the security space?
Go for it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, bots are really neat, to summarize. I think AI is coming really fast this year. One of the most noticeable things about them is how human-like they can seem.
Yeah.
Right? They really look like they can learn by reading the stuff that you have written in the past, and they can look exactly like you. And so my joke when I sort of am asked about this topic is like, look, bots are going to be an amazing vector for identity theft. Technology has to be the answer to that vector for identity theft. There's no way we're going to be able to hold back the sort of torrent of new ways of doing scams and stealing identity without technology. The way that technology needs to work is it needs to think about the bot almost as if it's a person and evaluate that person and see, is that person you or not? By using signals that are not the kinds of things that the bots are relatively trained on, right? So one of the ways to do that is to figure out where they physically are originating, what devices they're coming from, what kinds of characteristics they have when they make responses to questions, that kind of thing. So it's absolutely necessary to use automation, which is a type of bot, to step in on the identity side. And you have to be able to prove that the person or bot generating traffic is a person or bot that, or a person or device that you've seen before. But it will be really hard to distinguish just by looking at the surface symptoms whether a bot is really you or not.
Yeah. In retail, one of the things most people don't know is about 1% of all traffic turns out to be bad, but retailers turn away about 10 to 15% of their traffic to be able to protect that 1%. And, you know, if you translate that to a physical store experience, that's like turning away, for every 10 new users that come into your store, you turn away one good user. And that's a pretty big problem if you're doing that online, because at scale, that's a lot of lost revenue. And so the most valuable application from an AI perspective is to help retailers leverage the power of data to identify what is good and what is bad, to be able to sort through those and identify the level of friction you want to put, if any, to be able to let a particular transaction through. And sort of that's where we apply at Signify, the ability to tell them that, but also the innovation around offering them a complete liability protection or a guarantee on that is the icing on the cake.
Totally. And so maybe to help conceptualize some of that, I would love to hear about a use case, whether it's a way that your company is leveraging bots in this way, in AI, or a way that maybe a client is doing so who you work with. And happy to start with either. Yeah.
Sure. So I think the way we think of it at Tailscale is that there's going to be a lot of people, there's going to be a lot of automation. In a sense, these bots are arising as an analog to you, right? They're trying to be you in a helpful way. And so you have to allow these bots to do things on your behalf, but only when it's your bot doing things on your behalf, not when it's an imposter trying to do things on your behalf. And that, again, comes down to proving that you really are who you are. And that involves tying into identity provider and tying into what we call device posture, which is checking that the device you're on is something that you really control, doesn't have any malware installed, hasn't been anywhere weird, didn't show up in a foreign country by accident, and that kind of thing. And so it's about keeping control over exactly what kind of bot identities are and are not allowed so that we can facilitate the use of the bots that you have.
Totally.
Yeah. The best example that you can make real, at least in our world, is most of us have traveled internationally at some point. And let's say you're traveling to a country you've never been to before and you decide to use your credit card to buy something. Oftentimes, you just get declined. And you'll get this text message saying, it looks like there's fraud on your account, the card is being declined, and then you have to find an alternative source of payment to make that transaction happen. What's happening behind the scenes is actually pretty rudimentary. It's not very sophisticated. What's happening behind the scenes is your payment gateway or your bank or even your merchant has a set of rules in place. And those rules could be as simple as Raj is traveling in Vietnam, he's shipping a product back to the US, and he's buying it at a time, you know, say it's 2 a.m. that he's never bought before, and you could get a decline on your transaction. We've all experienced that in some way. And so what really is the change that has to come is that hard-coded rules that cut through that don't work in the long term. You need to be able to tie together thousands of different pieces of intent and behavior and transaction and device and everything else Avery touched on that gives you the ability to say this transaction is actually good, and therefore you don't need to put friction in it. And it's not about the identity as much of the individual, it's about the behavior and the patterns across the network that give it a certain value of what's good and bad.
Yeah, I think credit cards are actually a great example of what we're both talking about, because when you buy something online, you're not actually using the physical card that you were given. You're just typing a number in and some personal information that's easy for anyone to copy. And then somebody has to go around and try to detect just from the personal information that you typed in, and maybe what your IP address is, whether this is a valid transaction or not a valid transaction. And that's super hard, right? Modern credit cards have these chips and stuff inside. It's very difficult to copy the chip. If you've got a physical copy of the card, it's probably the only physical copy of the card. So there's restrictions around what's possible. But those only work when you go to a physical world vendor. When you go to an online vendor, you're back to regular numbers. And so it's the security controls and fraud controls they have are not nearly as effective. And so I think we're moving into a world where people are not going to want to go physically into stores nearly as often. They don't want to use physical chip cards. They need to have some kind of protection on those on your credit transactions that don't rely on like a physical card being in someone's hand.
Totally, and it's super interesting, right? Because that all has to happen in the few seconds that a transaction is happening online, right? It's when the thing is loading and that all the magic is happening to verify the credit card, the ID, all that stuff. And I feel like that segues really nicely into the next question I have for you guys, which is just around the ways in which you're seeing AI change the threat landscape in terms of identity protection and fraud. I feel like there's so much reporting out there. I'm also guilty of this, of like fear mongering, right? The ways in which cyber criminals are gonna proliferate this and all of that stuff. What are you actually seeing, and what is maybe overhyped right now? Yeah.
Well, as a CEO, one of the jokes that keeps going around my company is every single employee, right after they join, gets a text message from some bot somewhere saying like, hey, this is Avery, the CEO. Yeah. I need you to buy me 50 different Google Play gift cards and send me the numbers.
Yep.
Right? And my joke is like, look, I really actually do like Google Play gift cards. But at this point, now it's the boy who cried wolf. If I actually want you to buy me a Google Play gift card, you won't believe me. And it's because there's so much automation of these kinds of attacks. And those are the simplest kinds of attacks. They're very like, look, anybody who actually knows me knows that I'm not going to sign my text message, --, Avery Penner and CEO, right? But most people know better. But you only need a small number of people to fall for this, and the frauds work. When you're looking at the world of chatbots, they really can sound exactly like me. If they study the stuff I've been writing, they can write text messages that, for the most part, will be indistinguishable from something that I wrote. And that's pretty scary. It means text messages are going to have to kind of go out the window. Like, the text message system is not secure enough. There's no way for them to really validate. They can fake my phone number and send a fake message from my phone number almost trivially. And that's something that, you know, the phone companies don't necessarily want to talk too much about. But it's why these modern text messengers, like WhatsApp and Signal, are so valuable, because at least then they have some way of proving identity, right? But you still have to know who you are. But it's going to get much more complicated, because these bots are going to be very effective at convincing people that you are, or that they are you.
Yeah. The best example I like in this space is something we've probably all grown up on, the Nigerian scam, or the Nigerian prince sending us an email that says, you know, I need $200 and you need to wire it. For the most part, the past 15 years, those emails that come out are very clearly bad grammar, very bad to read, that even my mother at 70 will look at it and say, this looks like it's a scam. Today, you can go into ChatGPT and ask it to write that same email sitting in a cafe in Nigeria, even if your English is not going to be the best, and you can pull off the most beautiful looking email that can be sent to my mom, and she can look at it and say, well, this looks real, this might be real, and she may click on it. The ends to this game is not so much to get them to click on it as much as it is to get their financial credentials. Everybody is moving to stored value credits. They want you to not do guest checkouts. They want you to be creating accounts. If I ask you to log in and give me that information, now I have your login and password, or I have your credit card number, and I can, at scale, as Avery was talking about, commit fraud that allows you to do things that you previously couldn't do. And I think that's where AI is starting to get interesting. It's not a human versus AI anymore. Companies like ours and Avery's have built AI products for a while. It's now AI versus AI.
Yeah,
totally.
There's one example I heard about this that's more legitimate, is there are companies out there that are actually selling sales CRM products that will, you say you want to email somebody automatically about to try to sell them your product, it'll go read their LinkedIn, it'll figure out what they're interested in, it'll make a custom message based on their LinkedIn and their interests and their company and their job title, specially customized for them, it'll send it out with your name on it, and they get a higher return response rate than just a regular form letter. Right? And is that legitimate? Is that helpful? Is that productive? Is that counterproductive? You're going to need a bot then to read these messages that are coming in and say, oh, this one looks like another ChatGPT message. I think it's probably not real. Right? But it's going to be very hard to detect that stuff.
Totally. Totally. Very interesting. I had to write that one down. but I am so curious too, right? There's a lot of talk about how AI and chatbots are going to make things harder. Defenders need to be on the cutting edge here. If you are a defender, how can you start now, right, to be prepared? There feels like there's some leeway between where we are now and with things like ChatGPT versus where they will be in terms of creating scams, proliferating this? You know, what can we do in that in-between time to kind of help defend against and think through this? Yeah.
I guess an interesting analogy here, I don't know if you've heard about this, is teachers in schools and professors in universities are now having a bunch of trouble where students will just submit an essay written by ChatGPT. And the you know, it's the perfect essay structure. You have the intro paragraph, and you have the narrative, and you have the summary at the end, and it contains a bunch of facts. It even has references and footnotes. They might be footnotes that refer to things that don't exist, yeah. But it's kind of annoying to detect that stuff, right? And teachers are getting upset about this because they're marking, traditionally they mark people based on how well they can write an essay and not necessarily the content of that essay. And now anybody for free can write an essay that would get an A+ according to that structure, right? And so are you going to spend all of your energy trying to detect an essay writing tool, which is just kind of chasing around, like, when they graduate, why would they have to write their own essays? Because these tools are going to get more and more powerful. Like, stuff is going to get written for you. Or should you change the way you evaluate students based on, are they actually writing something insightful in the essay? Because insight is going to be the most valuable thing. Insight is the thing that that ChatGPT can't produce today, right? And that is something that, as a company, like, should we be spending all of our time detecting bots, or should be working with bots and try to take advantage of the uniquely human things that we have left for the humans?
The only point I'll add is the essence of why somebody is trying to do something bad is something we need to still focus on. And ultimately, there's a financial element to this. Nobody is committing bad things for the sake of doing it because it's a fun hobby. And so ultimately, if you're getting credentials, you're stealing, you're using all of these elements, it's to be able to commit fraud, or it's being able to use your financials in a certain way or move money. And those anomalies and those patterns of behavior don't change just because you use ChatGPT or anything else. And so I think the focus still stays the same in trying to identify, is just leveraging more features and new things into models to be able to identify new patterns of behavior.
Totally, totally. And I feel like we've talked a lot about, for panel, that should be about the advantages, the disadvantages, and the threat that is coming. I'm curious, you know, what, you know, if you were someone in the audience, what advice do you have for them if they are looking at leveraging bots and other AI and ML as a security advantage? You're sitting here, you're listening to all this. What is something that they should start doing right now to start thinking about this? Yeah.
So I think the main, well, you can get many advantages from using bots today. These technologies exist. They've gotten into people's hands so much faster than anyone ever expected them to. Are they going to be an immediate benefit to security today? That's an interesting question. I think we need to be honest with ourselves about the abilities and inabilities of these bots, and that's how you address it from a security point of view. They're going to be amazing and get more amazing at certain things. They're also going to be really scary and not get particularly improved in certain other areas. And it's our job to sort of, if you're going to try to work in a world with these things inevitably arising, you have to look for the fundamental attributes of a bot and prevent those things from breaking through.
Yeah, I'll close with the idea that about $400 billion is lost annually because people turn away good buyers. From an economy standpoint, that's a major impact. Yeah. Part of where AI it can be massive and continues to be in companies like Signified is to be able to go out and say, we can bring that back into the economy. And by saying we can reduce some of the losses, take away the liability, and convert 400 extra million, all with the power of AI, that's a massively valuable resource for us to be able to pursue.
Totally. Well, I am looking at the clock, and we are out of time. So thank you both so much for chatting with me, and thank you, everyone, for being here. And
right. Yeah. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.